Hey everybody, welcome to the Flute Talk Podcast. It's been a while. I'm Nick.
And I'm Amélie.
How's it going, Emily?
I'm good, how are you?
Good. Just adjusting your flute and stuff?
Yeah.
Cool. It's been like 2 weeks. Been doing a lot of playing and a lot of flute for the concerto?
Not as much as I would want to, but yes.
The story of our lives, right?
Yeah.
Story of every flutist's lives.
We always want more time.
Yeah, so we're going to do some questions that we had over the past week, and I'm going to then go look at the chat as well and see what everyone's doing and talking about. Somebody mentioned on one of the videos, I forget which video, but they said it's hard to jump up and down from the middle register and then dip to the low register, like a D. It feels like I'm blowing too hard when I go low. Am I doing something wrong?
Let's say a second octave D to first octave D.
Sure.
Difficulty going lower.
Yeah.
Well, first, does he raise his finger on the second register, on the second octave? That's a question. Because a lot of flutists forget to do that. So D and E flat.
Right.
In the first octave, you have to put your index finger of the left hand. But when you play second octave, you have to remove it. So first octave, you put it. Second octave, you remove it. That will help tremendously. So I'll just do it so people who are watching can see it. So first octave, I leave my index finger. Second octave, I remove my index finger. So that's the first thing I would say maybe is happening. If it's not that, it's possible that you blow too hard in the low register, and also it's possible that you cover the hole too much by putting your head down, because sometimes we feel, oh, it's low, let's put my head down.
Right. Yeah.
So we change the angle of the air. That could be it. We just made a video about playing low notes.
Yeah, definitely should check that out.
Should make one about going from one octave to the other.
Yeah, octaves.
There's a little movement with the lower lip. When you want to go higher, it moves.
Yeah, I would say it moves forward, sort of forward. Yeah.
A little bit, you know, it's not a big movement. It's very, very tiny. And then the rest is in the belly where you go, and you can feel in your belly the going. And you have the head that goes, you know, more in the head in the high register, and then more in the mouth in the lower register, I would say.
I think a lot of people get that confused sometimes when people talk about it in flute, the movements on the lips. I think we can generally say that those movements are very, very, very little. They're minuscule. They're not grand gestures. And I think a lot of people do too big gestures and then they get hurt or they don't understand.
Yeah. Maybe. And I think it's a bit, I started Pilates, you know, it's amazing. I love it. And the teacher says, when you move your arm doesn't move by itself. It comes from your back, you know. When you see a bird flying, it doesn't go from the tip of the, how do you call the, les ailes?
Tip of the wing.
Of the wing. It comes from the back of the bird.
Sure.
The movement comes from the back.
Absolutely. Okay. Huh.
In a way, you know, when we play, what goes on with the mouth is like the tip of the wing. But what's inside, all the airstream and the support, all those things are the basic of it, you know. That's where all the energy comes from. That's where the big part of the work is, I think. And anyways, when you play, we also made a video about the embouchure, like the flute position.
Yeah, embouchure.
Basic embouchure. Yeah. I think it's important. The upper lip doesn't move. It stays close to the teeth. And only the lower lip can move a little bit, as we said, when we switch register.
Mm-hmm.
And also what you can do is pick a note you like and try to keep the same sound quality to go through the register towards the register you don't like as much.
Absolutely.
And try not to move too much and keep the same way of blowing, same way of keeping your head. And you might have big surprises there, because maybe it's just something you're doing in that register that's making it difficult.
That's making it a problem, yeah. Oh, that's an interesting answer. Thank you for that. That's cool. Another one from YouTube is 31 Lotja says they have a difficult... The difficult thing for them is when they're nervous for a concert or something, then the lips get tight and those high notes sound squeaky. If at all, do they come out, or they don't come out at all, I mean. Any advice on how to play the high notes nicely with when being nervous and loosening the throat and lips is difficult? So that's from the high notes video, I guess. Yeah.
Well, is the problem high notes or nervousness? You know? That's what's the cause? The cause is nervousness, I think. And probably scared of your high notes, so then you tense up. And if you're playing high notes tensed, might be squeaky or not coming out, because the flute is a open instrument. You need to be open, you need to be relaxed. If you're all stressed and tensed up and you're scared of the note, very often I see people going tensed before they play their high note and then it doesn't get out. But you can see it even physically.
Mm-hmm.
So I would try to lower my energy before going in those high notes. And think about when you're nervous, first thing you can do is lower your breathing, like slow your breathing. Yeah. Because your heart and your breathing are connected. So if you start breathing very slowly, your body will get the message that, oh, there's not a real danger here. Because if it was a real danger, you would start running, and then, you know.
Yeah.
So it kind of reverses everything when you start breathing slowly. What I do is I take in air, and I stop breathing for a little couple of seconds, and then I feel my, and I go, and then I start breathing slowly. That helps. Then another thing is to stay focused on what you have to do. Because when our mind starts wandering, going in every direction, the Buddhists, I think they call it the monkey mind, the monkey brain.
Okay.
The monkey brain's like, oh, this is happening. Oh, this is happening. Oh, no, my teacher's in the room. I wonder what he's thinking. Oh, my mom and my nana. And then that girl, I think she's better than me. And that, you know.
There's a piano in tune, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you know, am I in tune? Yeah, yeah. That's the monkey brain.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so what I do to help stop my monkey brain is I try to focus on things that I can control.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I'll think, relax, breathe, think about your fingers that are going up, any little thing, you know, or I'll say the name of the notes in my mind, or I'll think, you know, I decide what I'm going to tell. Instead of that monkey talking, I take the space so the monkey doesn't have the space.
Right. Absolutely.
Because I can't stop my mind from thinking, but I can choose what I'm thinking about. And if I go back to just saying the name of the notes, or saying here it's forte, here it's piano, then I can't go to, oh no, this big passage is coming up.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But for high register, I would say if that's your problem, try to visualize yourself calm and then play your high register. But do it like the people who do diving.
Mm-hmm.
Divers, they always visualize their dive before they do it. And they say if you visualize yourself hurting yourself, don't dive. So visualize yourself really playing it well and then play it. Then when you're in a passage and you know it's coming up, lower your energy and visualize yourself doing it well.
Mm-hmm.
Just a split second or a couple of bars before you get there, and prepare yourself so you don't
crunch up, you know? You're thinking about it, yeah. Another way I think also is just making little mini exercises out of those trouble spots. Like play it in front of somebody, or play it in front of a group of people before your concert. And either record yourself so you can make notes on where you where you have made problems, and then when you go back and practice, you turn those little spots into exercises, like taking it two notes at a time, then three, then four, then out even more, until you're just like, oh, I can play it. Until you can basically play it at least 10 times without
fail. And even fail. When you don't have people that are willing to listen to you, just recording yourself already adds an extra stress. A lot of pressure,
Totally.
Just saying, I'm not going to stop. I do as if it was a concert.
Yeah.
Right away.
You recover if you get out, if you mess up.
Yeah.
And then you go back and then you make notes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great, that's another way to do it too. We have a question in the live chat. Mphombie79. They're having trouble building speed when they double tongue. She feels that her tongue lags or gets caught up when going faster. For example, like the Poulenc's sonata, first movement.
We just made a video about double and triple tonguing.
Yeah.
In this video, I talk about taka and daga.
Yeah, taka and daga, yeah.
So taka is a bit further away from each other. It's like the extremes of the mouth, but daga is closer. So if you think daga, it might be a bit faster. What do you think?
Well, daga daga, taka
it's
taka.
More in the middle.
Don't you mean the opposite? Because daga is up, daga is in the back, and taka is in the front.
No. Okay. Yeah. But look, if you say ta, ta is in the front, but ka is really back.
Oh yeah,
back.
Ka. Yeah. If you're talking about ka,
they're on the extremes.
Yeah,
but if you go daga, ga is closer to the middle, and da is closer to the middle. So then daga 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 da. You see when I do daga 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 daga.
Understood.
I don't do taka 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 taka. I'm not able to do it like that.
Yeah,
so maybe just a daga would help. Just try to bring your tonguing a bit more to the middle of your mouth instead of the extremes of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Am I being clear here or it's...
Well, for me, I think it's clear.
Yeah.
We'll find out through...
That could help.
Through
And also practice backwards.
Our commenter. Yeah, practice backwards like kata kata. And
I remember when I learned that piece, I was not able to double tongue that much. And also I was getting tired. My tongue was literally getting tired of tonguing.
Yeah, because if I remember, it's high register, which already adds a bit of a stress. And it's a bit fatiguing doing those. It's the most fatiguing part. It's not even like, for me, it was just a matter of being tired after each time doing those things. All the other parts in that movement
that
were easy.
That muscle was like, eh. It's like as if I had exercised. Then I decided, okay, the competition's coming up. So
backwards and forwards practicing for me. I remember playing it backwards and forwards.
Yeah.
And that.
So I decided to...
Oh, yeah, she totally gets it. Yeah, she totally gets it. Yeah.
So I decided to just practice a G4, you know?
Tapenade bar 4, yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing, all double-tongued.
Double-tonguing. Yeah, if you don't know what that is, that's Tapenade Gobert. I think it's available on IMSOP for free now. You can get the exercise number 4.
My tongue hurt a lot for that day, and then I was okay. Then it was taken care of, you know?
Yeah, it was like a little bit of medicine.
My body figured it out.
Yeah, it was a little bit of medicine. Cool, that was a great question. Thanks for that question. Saludos from Venezuela, and hola from Ambar.
Hola.
And Mirley from Venezuela. Yeah. I also have another question back onto the questions from last week. Just a few more. And then, I guess if you have any comments, be sure to put them in the comment section now so we can get those done as soon as possible. This was, I think, a comment and a question, sort of. It was by Michael Mendez, who wrote that good... It was a very good question, or comment. I guess I have to read it. I don't know if it's just me, but now that I'm correcting my breathing habits, when I focus myself on the belly, I feel very uncomfortable and often lacking of air and kind of dizzy. But the other hand, when I focused on fulfilling the chest and the back and use my belly to help support it, kind of trying to equate air between belly and chest, I feel much more energized to get more air and control it its stream, as you mentioned. Yeah, so like you were just saying, breathing through the back, and
yeah,
you were mentioning in Pilates, there's no diff, like the similarities are actually just, they're the same thing.
Yeah, because I don't know why we have this belief that we have to breathe only through the belly, only like it's so far from the lungs anyways. And I don't know, you know, really it's just the diaphragm's pushing your organs down So you
and like your lungs are up think, here too, huh? Your yeah, lungs are up here too. They're actually up here.
You think you're putting air in your belly? You're not putting air in your belly at all. But yeah, I think it's good to use your diaphragm.
Sure.
But it's you need the muscles around it anyways. The diaphragm is not a muscle; it's a membrane. It can't. It doesn't move. It moves by itself. You don't control like muscles around it control it.
Right.
But all those muscles around your thorax and your abdomen, they all work together. We have a pretty okay, like, I think it's a good video about breathing. And oh, I give a tip in that video to use all three levels of breathing, which are the belly and then the thorax and the chest. And it's Hawaii. So ha is the belly and then wa is the ribs. And the e is here on the chest. So you go Hawaii. And then you're you right. filled all three. Yeah. When you need a lot of air, that's a good way to do it.
I'm now yawning.
Yeah.
So last question we have here, and if you have any questions in the live chat, make sure to put them down, and we'll get them answered. What would be your advice for a person who will be a self-taught beginner? They're about to get a flute.
Mm-hmm.
What would be your advice besides watching our videos, obviously? What would be like some advice besides getting a teacher? Because obviously they maybe don't have a teacher around, I guess.
I guess a mirror.
A mirror, yeah.
Mirror would be great. And a recording
like a phone
device.
Yeah, a recording device, yeah.
You know, I was thinking the other day, even maybe filming yourself, because I used to use a mirror and a recording device, but now everyone can film themselves with a, you know, just be your own teacher. This way you can see what you're doing, hear what you're doing, and what you have to better. So I guess that if you don't have a teacher, if you can also participate in sometimes, well, it depends, but if you can participate in some, you know, summer festivals or little workshops whenever you can, even if it's a group class, you can learn tremendously, even sometimes more than in a can learn so much that then you use throughout the year that you just it sinks in. That can be interesting, but yeah, a mirror and a recording device would be a good start because you need to be your own teacher.
There, your flute's right underneath the stand. That's pretty good. Like, what would you recommend for like music wise I guess, like anything, like a beginner book of some sort, or is there anything like would you want to learn scales first or pieces, how, or just get them to
you learn your fingerings and you start some scales and easy pieces.
All those
pieces.
Things are readily available online.
Yeah.
If you search online, for
we
sure.
We have to finish our own book that
we're writing.
Yeah,
the books that are
writing.
Coming out, yeah, for sure.
In that book, I want to put everything, you know. I want to put pieces and scales and make like a little program that's easy to follow. And then when you're
like
done that one, you can go to the next level. And so everything's in one little package.
Yeah, one little package and that's it, you know. So if there's no other questions or comments, I guess that will be it for this week's flute talk. Next week, you're doing another Just Practicing, and that's going to be with Chaminade a little bit and with your concerto, you said. So that'll be next week.
I'd like to say one thing.
Sure, go ahead.
I realized something this week.
Realizations are great.
Yeah, because of Pilates again.
Thank goodness for Pilates.
And I was realizing that, you know, that big thing with the shoulders.
Shoulders, yeah.
Yeah. Shoulders. Oh, put your shoulders down. Put your shoulders down. Because people always think everyone has their shoulders up even when they don't. But I was thinking maybe we shouldn't think about our shoulders as much as of our blah, blah, blah. I have mispronunciations here. As our shoulder blades. Because really your shoulders are attached to your shoulder blades. If you put your shoulder blades down and back, then everything's in its place. You don't have to, you won't be able to pull your shoulders up or push them down too much.
Right.
They'll just be in their sweet spot. So Now, when I take my flute, I think of my shoulder blades. I don't think about my shoulders. They're just in their spot if I put my shoulder blades in the right spot. And then I put my flute, I bring my flute to my head. And I was like, wow, that's something good.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Significant.
Well,
for
me, it's it's very
well, being
cool.
Aware when you play can really make things easier.
Yeah, totally. So but if you don't know where to put your attention, then you can be
problems can occur.
Yeah
Or problems can accelerate.
It helps when you know where to put your attention. Instead of instead of my shoulders, I should think of my shoulder blades. Oh, that's great, you know. So it kind of took care of a problem for me.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, years of not knowing where to put my shoulders, you know.
Oh my gosh, imagine. There's,
but,
there's a
you
lot
know,
of
I
that.
Have that thing with my ligaments. They're too elastic.
They're contortionist.
I could be, I guess. So they don't do their job so well. So my body tends to just...
Right.
Overstretch. So, but a lot of people have that. So it's good to share information about those types of things.
Oh, we have another good question by FFI38378. Can you demonstrate harmonics and explain why we should study them and how to match the harmonic with the regular fingering?
Okay.
We haven't done a real episode about harmonics.
No, we used
or octaves.
Them.
Octaves and harmonics. We use them in episodes,
in
but not like
an episode about high register, because I think they're amazing for your high register. They're amazing for your sound in general, even to make your low register more... because your low notes, they have in them all those high harmonics.
Yeah.
Those harmonics are contained in your low notes.
Mm-hmm.
And when you work on them, then it enriches your sound in the low register. And it helps you control your high register better. So that's why it's so good to work on.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first part of the question.
That's right. And why we should study it. Yeah. And then they want you to demonstrate it.
Demonstrate.
As well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I put the microphone a bit further.
Yeah, probably right there. Yeah.
Okay. So I'll do a C. So I do a C.
So you're playing a low C.
Low C.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then when I'll play my next note, it's going to be the octave. First octave, so...
With those same fingering, same fingering.
Same fingering.
Of a low C.
And then a G. And then a C again. So it goes octave, fifth above that octave, second octave, then major third over that second octave, then fifth again. So in C, it would go C, C, G, C, E, G.
Right.
And then if you do it in D, it would go D, D, A, D, F sharp, A.
Right.
Just transpose it.
Yeah.
So, that's how you do it. You just blow differently. You go.
So now that you want, now I think, I think it was just also the relationship about matching to the regular fingering. So then playing that and then actually fingering the C. So when you do that C, and then doing the matching.
And you can hear the real fingering is higher.
Right.
So I could try to match
the tendency,
You know?
Right.
I can work on that and try to work on the pitch as well.
Those help with like developing tonal colors, also developing the just the relative strength of the notes throughout the... It's about really to kind of make all the registers even when you play. Because it's like a piano. Piano, when you tune a piano, each note perfectly in tune with a tuner, it's actually going to be horribly out of tune.
Yeah. You have to make the low register a bit lower and the high a bit higher.
And yes, exactly. And in the middle, it's a bit different as well. You have to do it three ways. They have to be out of tune, favorably out of tune. between the three main registers on piano. But it goes the same way with the flute. When you go through the octaves, your tendencies for air and mouth and all those things have to be different. And that's where you can hear it in harmonics. You can hear where those tendencies are and where you're breathing and where it has to go. You know, it, mm-hmm. it tells you, oh, you're not where you're supposed to be. Bring yeah. it somewhere else.
But it's so, normal yeah. if your G is a bit higher yeah, than the Yeah, it's also
normal
one.
A little bit. Yeah, it's normal to be a little bit.
Because it's like also higher, so ear. It's pleasant to have it yeah. a bit higher.
Yeah, and you know, you just make your own judgment. That's why most people, that's why every flute sounds different, you know, for yeah. the most part. Like, that's,
But
yeah.
was there...
No, that was it. I think, yeah. I don't know if we answered that for you, make sure to leave us
it's
a comment.
It's good for your sound. Yeah, like, it's good for your sound. Wrap it up, it's yeah, good it up, for your it's, sound. Yeah.
It's a fundamental thing to do every day. Just like, I think, scales yeah, for like takes a, for like 30 minutes. Seconds.
No, like, not even. It takes a minute.
Yeah, it takes a
like,
minute almost. Not even. Yeah. yeah. So, yeah. I think that will be it. That was a great question to end on.
Yeah.
So, this is the Flute Talk, and we're going to see you guys in 2 more weeks on another one. I think we'll have it on Saturday this time because we couldn't do it tomorrow, so that's why we're doing it today. So, yeah, hopefully, if you have any questions, if you're watching this video after it's being live streamed, make sure to put your comment down below so we can answer for the next time. And be sure to like it and be sure to subscribe. And I'm Nick.
And I'm Amélie.
And we will talk to you guys next time.
See you next time. Bye.